The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Y'all don't know what goes on before this show. Anyway, good morning, John.
I just told John that I hate puzzles. That my wife wanted me to do a puzzle. Like, come find a puzzle piece. I'm like, FOH, I don't want to get a puzzle piece. I hate puzzles.
Do you sit at home, because you live alone, and do you do puzzles?
Dale, don't make it sound like that, John.
No, it's actually great. What are you talking about?
No. He likes that. That's not like...
Dale. No, it's actually... We've got to find him a girlfriend.
No, they can have a girlfriend. Don't mean she has to live with me.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That is a good point. But does she want to do puzzles with you?
You know why? Dale's Christian. He doesn't believe in that kind of stuff.
Believe in what stuff?
Girls living with you before marriage?
No, I don't. No, I'm a man who doesn't want to be bothered. That's why I don't believe in that.
That was the other angle.
So do you do puzzles? That's the question.
No chance.
I don't
sit at home and do puzzles.
You do not do puzzles is what you're saying. Okay. I don't know where this came from all of a sudden.
Well, my wife wanted me to like stay out. It was like 10:45
at night. After the game.
And she said, well, the game I think was technically still going on. And she said, come, find a puzzle piece with it. I said, no, I hate puzzles. Like, I really hate puzzles. I don't have the patience. I'm very ADD.
You're
I don't
very
have the patience
ADD
to look
to
for a
sit
puzzle
there
piece.
And look it for a...
Me, of all people, I can't concentrate on anything. Right. And you want me to look for a puzzle and then do that same thing like 2,000 times?
Yeah.
No way.
That's the
no
worst.
No way.
No, he has an unhealthy aversion to puzzles.
I hate puzzles. I hate putting together, and this one I can't get away from, like putting together IKEA stuff where you have to read a bunch
IKEA
of directions.
Stuff? What is that?
IKEA, like shelves. Oh, it requires a bunch of steps. Or like a basketball goal. That's my current one that hasn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And put together anything.
I started basketball goal on December 25th.
When you had to put together a crib for your kids.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Exactly. Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Anything that requires
reading
multiple directions. Yeah.
Because there's always like 12 screws left over, and you're like,
yeah,
what
the fuck? Or lawyer speak. If there's anything like a contract I have to go through, I can't do this.
No.
I don't have the patience to sit through all
this. Yeah, you know what? Just let somebody else do that, and I'll go play at Prime. That's what I'm going to do.
It's very, very similar.
Let me ask you this. So last year, Tua was all the rage. Now Trevor Lawrence is all the...
The rage, and then he almost won a Heisman this year.
And then he almost won a Heisman. But then he kind of gagged it away in the biggest game. And then he
looked even worse
in the bigger game.
Looks like they got it right.
Yeah. I think they did. How about that the most passing yards Alabama's given up in the last three games? In the last 2 years? It's the last three games. From Murray and now Trevor Lawrence.
Do you
I guess you found out. And the thing was, well, he's not mobile like Kyler, and that's how you beat Alabama.
It didn't matter.
Just throw the ball really well, and you can beat Alabama.
You know, Alabama's a team that lost 6 defensive backs last year. That matters. Every starter is gone from last year. Tony Brown, who was the nickel. So every single cornerback, Wallace, Brown, and the year before, obviously, you lost Marlon Humphrey. You lost Anthony Everett. You lost...
yeah, but here's the thing about that, Lance. I don't care. They dominated everybody all season long. They dominated the entire world.
Not defensively, they didn't.
They beat everybody by 20.
But this was clearly...
23 was the closest game.
Right. Offensively. This was clearly... We knew that this was their weakest defense. And it was primarily their linebackers, I think, are just okay. And I think their secondary is not that great. But their front is obviously very good. But they were missing a speed rusher and Christian Miller that really, it really showed up in the game. They had no, and Kirk Herbstreit called it perfectly. He's like, first of all, they have a 3 technique. Isaiah Buggs, number 49, he'll be a 3 technique in the pros. He plays defensive end. Anthony Jennings can't rush. And, you know, Quinnen Williams had some moments, but Raekwon Davis didn't show up and get
into the
pocket.
Well, that's their problem. You know what? Clemson didn't have Dexter Lawrence. You know what they did? They kicked their ass.
Right. You're right. But this is what I'm saying is that Alabama team going in, once it got started, you realize they don't have a big edge rusher in the back or in the front. And we know that they're not as good in the back. What I didn't expect was it to be that bad. And I thought, I keep seeing I'm going to have to write Deontay Thompson, the safety number 14 for Alabama, because everyone thinks he's coming out and that he could be in the first round. And anybody who could be in the first round, I have to have finished by this Friday. That's an underclassman. And I'm like, after watching a game yesterday, I'm like, I'm not writing him. Screw it, Deontay Thompson. You mean this 140-pound safety who can't cover and can't run? I'm watching Deontay Thompson do nothing in the game yesterday, 14. I thought Alabama's corners and safeties were terrible, and Trevor Lawrence was there to take advantage of
it.
And then Tua fell completely apart at the end of the first half.
He really did. But my goodness, Justin Ross, wow. He just throws people off him and gets open and runs 80 yards for a touchdown.
Snacks started screaming that it was a push off, and the reason the corner hurt himself.
It kind of was.
I said he broke his ankles, which threw him into a fit because he's a huge Alabama fan now. And so,
well, guess what's next? Your ass handed to you. Are you on your way to school, Snacks?
It was. I've got
Snacks.
Are you on your way?
Guess what happened, Snacks?
He's not.
Your
on his way
team
to school yet.
Got their ass handed
he
to
won't,
him.
He won't be headed to school. It'll be a long 30 minutes.
But look at that catch along the sideline, though.
I mean, it's a long time ago, but the last big wide receiver I've seen do something like that in a championship game was Andre Johnson. What he did to Nebraska when he was throwing Nebraska corners away from him.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Away
I
from
forgot
him
about
making
that.
Plays. And that was Andre's coming out party because, I mean, the year before it was Wayne and Moss, and he was the lone guy that year, but people didn't really know how good he was. I haven't seen a big receiver do that in a title game since.
How big is Ross?
They say he's like 6'3", 6'4".
Man, he is strong though, dude. I'm going to tell you, should Alabama have gone to Joe Flacco earlier or not? What should they or should they not have? I mean,
you got to stay with your playmaker.
Honestly, no, but Tua was bad.
Jalen Hurts can't do anything.
Okay, let me ask you this. And right now,
you ride or die
right
with
now,
your Heisman guy.
Right now, bet Justin Herbert or Tua is the number one pick next year.
I thought it was never going to be Tua. Tua does not have the class.
Well, if Justin Herbert was going to be this...
Herbert would have been a first quarterback in this draft.
This draft.
He will definitely be the first quarterback
in the next draft.
Unless something falls apart.
Well, he just looks the part, yeah.
You know, Tua was exposed a little bit by Brent Venables. There are going to be some NFL evaluators who look at this game, and they're going to be looking at certain things. Disguised looks really gave him a problem.
Listen, that zone trap where the outside corner pretends like he's going with the outside and then steps forward and steps in. And the pick six.
Well, they had the
basically,
pick six.
Basically, that's a zone trap. That's really tough for especially a young guy.
It is. But then they ran a variation where they basically ran a cover three where they made it look like man. And then the corner drifted into cover three. So they disguised coverages and Tua threw dead solid into both coverages.
Well, that second pick you're talking about?
The one that went.
Yeah, the high, that was, it that like, was a, just a crappy throw.
Well, the throw, first of all, the read was bad and the throw was worse.
Yeah, it was worse.
Because he threw it way over his quarterback into the safety's hands.
Yeah, I mean.
Into, you know, the wide receiver. But I Tua, really, Brent Venables, Tua was in an unbelievable rhythm in the first quarter and a half of that game. And you're sitting there going, man, Alabama's beating the piss out of them and losing 14-13. Like, this is crazy. They've got 200 more yards of offense. Yes. Clemson's got one. They have a defensive touchdown and one offensive play, and that's it. But you know what yesterday was? Clemson making chunk plays. Ross's touchdown, the pick six, the other big play by Ross in the first half, in the first quarter that got him into games. And then they let Alabama dig their own grave, and that's what Alabama did. And Nick, boy, what an uncharacteristically panicky game. That fake field goal call against a safety front where Clemson said, let's play safe.
Plus, the field goal gets you to within 12. What? Why would you not want to get to within 12?
Well, no.
Yeah, they were down 15. It was 31-16. It was 15.
Point? Yeah.
Get it to within 12 so that touchdowns get you.
That's why you weren't kicking a field goal. You never were going to kick it and get within 12 for the reason you're saying. Well, so then
put your best players on the field.
Put your best players on the field. Exactly. Hey, okay, so here's your choice. Get the first down with a holder, with a kicker blocking, or with Tua and Judy and Smith and those guys.
Yeah.
Is that a hard call?
Yeah.
Alabama was gashing them on the ground. You know, Tua was their biggest problem, but that fake field goal call against a front that was basically saying, we're going to play for a fake, was the worst Nick Saban move that I think I've ever seen at Alabama.
Yeah.
What a panicky call.
That was. That was just panic.
If you're going to go for it, and they clearly are thinking you're going to go for it, call your timeout there because your play is not going to work. And then run with your best dogs. Run with your best guys.
Yeah. Like you're going to get 5 yards with your kicker as a lead blocker. Good Lord. He went like the defensive tackle just threw him and tackled the holder. That was stupid.
It was stupid. It was so poorly designed. That play is designed for somebody who absolutely thinks you're going to kick a field goal and then you only need a yard.
And what did Saban now? And this is very uncharacteristic of Saban as well. At halftime, Maria Taylor asks him about how Clemson is attacking them offensively, and he said, well, they're using copycat plays that we weren't ready for, plays that other people had used against Alabama that were effective. What? Mm-hmm. You weren't ready for plays that were effective against you?
I know.
And Nick, honestly, when was the last time you saw Nick Saban get unprepared? This outcoached?
They were unprepared. They really were. And this is why it happens. People always talk about preparation. This was classic lack of preparation.
I think it was maybe a little bravado. They were a little arrogant going into this game.
Troy just said that looked like Georgia's fake punt. Same thing where Kirby Smart panicked. It was the same. I'm going to text string with Joe Moore Award guys, and they said the same thing. Like, this is this is exactly what happened with Georgia, where they just panicked.
Yeah.
And that's what Nick Saban did yesterday. But I don't know that Alabama wasn't prepared. I don't know. Like, they can be mutually exclusive. I think Clemson just really prepared exceptionally well, and they're not afraid of the bully. This is their fourth go-round. Cleveland Farrell has been there, I think, 4 years. Was he a redshirt freshman? He's not a true junior, I don't think. He's been there. Wilkins has been there for all of 4 years.
Yep.
Wilkins has played out against Alabama 4 years.
Yep.
He's played in games against Alabama. Those guys aren't afraid of Alabama.
No.
And those guys came back after getting whipped by Alabama because they wanted specifically, a couple of them wanted to. Wilkins was going to be a first to second round pick last year. He'll be a first to second round pick this year. He came back. Well, he just got his master's. How about this? Do you know this about Christian Wilkins? He's one of the most high character guys. Christian Wilkins does some substitute teacher stuff. He won the award, the Campbell Award, which they call the Academic Heisman, which is really, it's for a scholar athlete who's impactful in the community. He won that award. That's a huge, huge honor. It's the first time ever a CFP player has won that honor, and they spotlighted him between the first and second quarter. I didn't see it on TV, but that's what they were going to do. He got his degree in 2.5 years in communications. He got a master's, and he just finished his master's this December. He's there 4 years, and he's already finished his master's program. That That's Christian Wilkins. He busts his tail. Then he's out in community doing community stuff as well. Yeah. And then they say, I remember hearing, now all the stories I've heard about Christian Wilkins make sense, where they say he's the one that took Trevor Lawrence and took him out to breakfast and wanted to make sure his head was in the right place after Bryant left and when he took over the team. Like, he's this phenomenal leader. He's this fun guy. And you can see it in the post game too.
Him crying on the sideline.
Yeah, you see the wet willy he gave. Yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah,
wet willies are a bad thing.
Dabo, you know what? Dabo handled it. He handled it pretty damn well. He just went, what?
Yeah. And then Dabo went full on coaching mode. Hey, we're going to get excited, and then Friday we're going to close the doors and get ready for next year. Like, yay, what? What are we doing?
Too bad he's going to. Too bad they party with Papa John's. Like, Papa John's pizza is apparently the prize for winning big games.
That's what they got.
They do that after ACC titles, like when they're sitting around waiting for the college football
this chewy ass
playoff
crust.
Spot.
And this then, chewy ass
and then they
crust
do it after
what
titles
get?
And stuff.
Whoa. Can
Papa
I get
John.
Some crispness
Why couldn't
on the
they
crust?
Get some skanky Subway or something?
I don't know. But back to being not prepared, I've seen this put out there that finally some of the leakage of coaches being turned over hurt Alabama. Yeah. Like, is Jeremy – are Jeremy Pruitt
– oh,
like,
come on.
Tosh Lupoi, is he the same?
Well, hey,
Jeremy
this,
Pruitt is
I will say this, though. Brent Venables being there all these years is a big advantage for Clemson.
Let me – so they said – I couldn't believe this. 20 coaches have come and gone with Nick Saban over the last 5 years.
And guess what?
And three at Clemson.
Guess what? We know a few more than a few of their assistants. There's going to be a big exodus after this too.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be even
Loxley's
more.
Loxley's already going to Maryland.
Loxley's leaving. Yep. The offensive line coach.
I can't
I heard
say,
is
but
going.
There are other guys that are out of
and,
there too.
And they told the story. Justin Ross from Alabama. They featured that quite a bit. Number one player in Alabama said, "One of the reasons I picked Clemson is because I couldn't be sure my position coach would be there.
It's an issue. You know, my dad was offered by Nick Saban. I'll tell the story on the other side because my dad was offered when Nick Saban was at LSU and turned him down, and I'll tell you why. We'll do that on the other side. And then I do want to get into Dabo versus Nick because I think what's his name from college that was mentioning that this morning on college? David Pollack made a comparison. I thought it was a damn good comparison with Dabo and Nick. And we'll do that here in just a second. And we saw Houston Texan was on the sideline
in
the national championship game.
Yeah.
He was keeping the same energy.
Yeah, with his purple outfit on. And here's the deal is, you know, it's funny. I got a call from Jeff Aronoff yesterday. As a matter of fact, he said, where you want to watch the game? He was going to some highfalutin place with a bunch of marble and stuff. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go to Damaris. But however, Damaris is where Jeff Aronoff put the bar in, as a matter of fact. And it's a wonderful bar. And that's what Jeff Aronoff does. He'll put in entire countertops or bars. If there's marble, if it's rock hard, Jeff Aronoff is doing it, okay? There is no question in my mind. That's not weird. It's true. It's what he does every single day. He puts in vanities, fireplaces, outdoor patios, countertops, bars, whatever it is. If there's something that you want to do and it's hard, Jeff Aronoff is going to take care of that for you. All you got to do is give him a call, and Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your home, and he's going to give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener, and you're going to love your life with Jeff Aronoff. All right? That's all you got to do. Give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. You got a big job that you need a bit, you know, somebody that's going to take care of business. It's Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sometimes you have to be fortunate because when you play against good teams, you need that depth and you need those people. I think it was a poor decision on my part not to kick the field goal, you know, the first drive of the second half. We thought we had a really, really good fake.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
That wasn't a really, really good fake, I don't think. Wait, why
no,
did you...
Senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Why is not well designed.
That was poorly, poorly designed.
All right, so we're going to... Right, I want to get a kick. All right, I want to get a fake where we get a kicker, all right, lead blocking, and a deep snapper lead blocking. I want these two guys as the blockers on this play. How much... Yeah, we need 6 yards. I want a play where we go 6 yards with a lead snapper, with a blocker, lead blocker of a snapper and a kicker, all right, against a safe front with all their starters in. Like, are you sure this is what we want to dial up, Nick? We got Tua on the sideline and
yeah,
Judy, and we got three running backs who are going to be in the
Jacobs
lead. Yeah, like, are you sure?
Just yeah, give the ball to Jacobs.
Let's run the damn play.
Okay. How much money did Jacobs make over these last couple of games?
He's made some. He's everyone assumes he's coming in, and Daniel Jeremiah is one of the guys who, you know, he's taking over for Mike Mayock as the lead guy. And so I have to have whoever is in his first mock draft, I have to have profiles, and he told me Josh Jacobs is in his first round.
He went from third string running back to first round.
He's really talented. He's bad. Damian Harris already wrote up. Damian Harris is a nice running back.
I like Josh Jacobs a lot more.
A lot more. The Damian Harris, people are like, oh, he's first round. Yeah. Like, Damian Harris to me is like an early third, maybe a late second. You can find Damian Harris. He's got good size. Like, I like him. I like him fine. But Josh Jacobs is the guy. He's a dude.
How do you go from Alabama's third string running back to the first running back taken in the draft?
It's just because that's how loaded they are at running back at all times.
Oh my
Trent
God.
Richardson was the first running back taken in the draft. Mark Ingram was way up there. That's just how they do it.
Trent Richardson, yeah, was the third overall pick, but he was the starter.
Right.
So Derrick Henry was a Heisman.
But you know how it goes. They all
Mark Ingram won the Heisman.
They all bide their time. It's just a matter of literally. Like Najee Harris, they said he's getting all frustrated because he's not getting as many. But then next year he'll be the lead back.
Yeah, he'll be the guy, yeah.
And Najee Harris is going to be a pro running back. Yeah. All they do is crank out pros. They have a bunch of 5 stars sitting there behind each other.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. But Josh Jacobs is for real. He is real. I kept waiting for some kind of jump pass or something tricky out of that direct snap. It was just like, no, we're just going to smack you in the mouth. That's all we're going to do.
Yep. Another note yesterday, the Packers found their head coach. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur.
I didn't see that coming.
No, he is the OC.
He's pretty well regarded.
In Tennessee.
Right.
Tennessee Titans OC. But the thing is, he knew Sean McVay, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he was their quality. He was McVay's quality control coach before he went to Tennessee, apparently, the year before.
Wait, he was just a QC before then?
Yeah, he was the quality control
guy. But he's been around for a while.
He was under Mike Shanahan as well. And now that, apparently now everybody wants the next Sean McVay.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons. Look, if you don't think Cliff Kingsbury has benefited from Sean McVay, forget about it.
But nobody more than Matt. They're saying that if you know Sean McVay, you're getting a head coaching job in the NFL right now. And Matt LaFleur, Packers are zeroing in on Titans OC. Matt LaFleur is their head coach, sources tell. Packers have begun notifying other head coaches that they've interviewed and that they're out, and they've made their choice.
Mm-hmm. Here is his background. I remember, let's see. So he's with the Texans.
Yeah.
As a quality control coach. Do you remember that?
Under Kyle Shanahan.
I don't remember that.
No, I don't remember him either, but he was under...
He'd have been 28 years old.
That's where the Kyle Shanahan comes in.
And that's not bad to know Kyle Shanahan. Redskins quarterback coach.
Right.
The Shanahans. Notre Dame's quarterback coach in 14. Atlanta Falcons quarterback coach, Super Bowl. Right? 15, 16?
Under Kyle Shanahan.
In 16?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Rams offensive coordinator.
Oh, he was the OC.
Tennessee Titans offense coordinator. Yeah, because he's been in the game for a while.
Yeah, but he was
I don't think he called the plays,
QC came here, but he didn't call the plays. Sean McVay did.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then he got to call the plays last
year. No, everyone wants Sean McVay. The Sean McVay phenomenon is helping Cliff Kingsbury. Anybody that's young, there was the same thing with Gruden when Gruden was a young coach in the league. Whenever a young coach has success, everyone tries to find that young coach.
So Kevin Clark tweets, candidate one, I spent the last decade building great defenses. Candidate two, I had a Bud Light line with Sean McVay at the NFL Combine. All eight NFL teams with openings. Well, I've heard enough. Let's start talking contract, candidate two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you know Sean McVay, you are getting a head coaching job.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's
the same thing. Baker Mayfield's going to make people more excited about smaller quarterbacks. You know, Kyler Murray, people, 5'9", 180. Is never something that people are excited about at quarterback.
Well, you're excited about Kyler Murray, I think. Do you think that's going to be the new fad?
But it opens the door.
You know what now everybody's going to want to watch? This dude is big.
Well,
he's 6'6".
So Trevor Lawrence is still thin, which means he's just going to grow into his frame. Like, he's more of when Matt Ryan, but he's more athletic even in his frame than Matt Ryan was. Now, Trevor Lawrence is the first pick when he comes out.
Oh.
Trevor is the first pick.
He just solidified it.
He was the first pick by week four.
But after that win, why the long face?
Because he's got a long face.
I don't get it. You would think he'd be happy.
So let me tell you, let me pay this off. My dad was back in 99, or no, it was back in 2000. Nick Saban was, I think that was his first year at LSU. May have been more than that, but Nick Saban reached out to my dad about being the offensive line coach at LSU. My dad was at University of Cincinnati at the time. And, you know, my dad knew some coaches like Pat Rule, some guys had been on a staff at Michigan State, and they said it's hard. Like, it's hard being on Nick's staff. It's no matter how good you're doing, it's always the worst. You're always doing terrible. They were undefeated 1 year before going to Purdue, and they're like, we're the worst. We're going to get our asses kicked. He brought the whole building down, and then they lost against Drew Brees and Purdue, which all that did was just inflame. I told you. And the coaches just really have a hard time working for Nick long term. He just really, really wears
on
them. And so my dad knew that, and he said, I don't want to work for Nick Saban. And so Cincinnati gave him a little bit more money. He ended up staying there. He would have made more at LSU with Nick, and he turned that down. So my brother was at Bay City. And Nick Saban was going, he went in to visit Archie McDaniel, or Narada Manning and Archie McDaniel were the two kids from Bay City he was recruiting. And he saw my brother, he's talking to Mike about those two players. And Mike answered, my brother, who was at Bay City coaching, mm-hmm. answered the question. He goes, hey, tell your dad you're welcome for the money I got him at Cincinnati. And walked, like that's all he said, and walked off. Nick was sour. But I mean, I've heard that same kind of story at least 10 times. Yeah. Guys just have a hard time. I hear his offensive line coach is going to be gone, Brent Key, who I think is a really good
coach.
Here's
the deal, though. If you can put up with him for that year or two, and you grind.
So it's like the chef game.
Then you just came from Alabama.
So, you know, for chefs, it's called staging, where it's the French word for stage. You go work for free, basically, for a month. 3 weeks or whatever with really good chef in a really good place, and you don't get paid anything. And Ryan LaShane from
it's like being an intern here.
Yeah, exactly. So Ryan LaShane from Riel, who you know him, by the way, I went there and had to do shots again a couple weeks ago. Yeah. But he told me one of the best jobs he ever had was in, I think it was I can't remember if it was San Francisco or where it was, where he worked for free. And I said, Is it really worth it? He said the chef was an a-hole. He goes, oh, it was unbelievable. He said, I learned so much. He goes, it's absolutely worth it going and doing these stages. And you might be right. Maybe that is kind of because it's not necessarily that your name could get hot. It might not get hot. With Michael Locksley, I think it helps. But you really do learn a lot about how to run an organization under Nick Saban. I don't think there's any question about
that. Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt, Michael Locksley.
Look at Mario Cristobal. He got fired from FIU. Yeah. Finished last year, 3-9.
It was a rehab.
He rehabbed with Saban for a couple years, got that Saban stink on him, and got hired Oregon. By Willie
Lane
Taggart.
Kiffin.
Willie goes and takes the Florida State job. Oregon's like, we'll take the guy who can't win at FIU and make him our head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Lane did the other thing. He went to FIU from Alabama.
But he had to get that stink off of him. He rehabbed. Sarkisian rehabbed.
Yeah.
Got himself an OC job, which he lost again.
Yeah, he rehabbed. I think, didn't he really actually rehab?
He rehabbed, yeah. He really did.
He actually did rehab. But you're right. That is, Alabama's like a halfway house. You see who's there right now? On the sideline, I'm looking at like.
Jeff Banks?
Isn't that Butch?
Butch Jones is talking to him. Like,
that's Butch Jones. That's Butch Jones. That's Butch Jones deal. No, he's getting ready to rehab his. They're in a rehab. They're in a coaching rehab in a halfway house.
I don't know why Craig Kuligowski had to go. Craig Kuligowski was one of the best defensive line coaches in the country. He had all those Missouri guys. Who is he? That run of Missouri defensive linemen that went through?
Shane Ray and Marcus Golden and all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was unbelievable. Yet he said, I got to go. But he stopped.
I got to go where?
He stopped in Miami first.
Well, Gary Pinkel, I think, he got retired. So I think Kuligowski wanted to be upgraded to defensive coordinator. Like, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. So he left. He went to Miami. He couldn't recruit for bleep at Miami. All of a sudden, he winds up at Alabama. Everybody wants to play for that guy.
Yeah, right. That's how it works. Right.
I know how it works. You put that script A on your hat. You're good to go.
You're damn right. You are.
Last time I saw
Jeff Banks left Texas A&M, left Summit, and went over there. He's the special teams guy.
Oh, really?
Which I don't know how good that is right now.
When you have maroon and it's a scarlet, it's scarlet color and it's a script letter. It's usually not good.
No.
Especially a scarlet A is not usually what you want, but you kids read your books, you'll find out what we're talking
about. And build a patio.
So Texas Custom Patio. So Steven Shell was telling me they advertise also, not just with us, but with Culture Map. And I told him he really needed to. I went to him and I said, look, I know he's listened to our show for a long time and he understands that the word of mouth is one of the best ways to advertise, and that's actually what I'm doing. Word of mouth. I sought him out and said, "Hey, I really want to tell people about your product." When I put it on social media, my before and after of my patio, I don't care what family picture I have, what personal event. It could be the birth of a child. I have never seen the positive response on social media to anything more than the before and after of my patio. And you know why? Because men and women alike see a house that they can now envision, wait a minute, this could be my house. And it really could be your house too. You could get that outdoor living area like I have. They can put a kitchen in it for you if you want to. But the great thing is they have a design team that designs it to perfectly fit in with your pre-existing home, and they will blend it in there. They created a roof and pitched it directly on top of the roof that I already had. They redid the windows and the siding, and I got a brand new backyard. I said, hey, can I get rid of this pecan tree? Yeah, we'll get a guy out here who will get rid of your tree for you as well. And we completely redid the backyard. And what it did for me was it gave me a backyard that I really wanted to have. It gave me that living area that I wanted to have. And I upgraded my home. You don't have to move into a brand new home. Just upgrade the home you have with Texas Custom Patios. Whether it's a room addition, a sunroom, an outdoor living area like I have, standard patio, it doesn't matter. It's going to look unbelievable, and they're going to do great work, top-of-the-line quality work from Texas Custom Patios. If you want to see the before and after of my backyard, which you'll be blown away, go to tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com. Let Steven and his crew make your home truly the home you want to live in at Texas Custom Patios.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'd like to get some verification on that, if we can. If you're a swinger, and is this pineapple thing true? If you put it in the front of your cart and the pineapple's standing up, that you can have a four-way, and if it's laying down, then there's only one in play.
Supposedly, I'd heard this a few years ago, that Greatwood is home to big, like,
really?
I guess it's a big swinger spot because there's just bored people out there or whatever. They're like, let's do something to pep things up. Because we're, you know, between Richmond and Houston.
Right. I guess, yeah, I guess in Greatwood, you got that giant fountain that you go by or something. Maybe that, I don't know. I would think like the Woodlands too would be a nice swinger area.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe if you're a swinger, give us a call. Thanks. My kids now want to go get some pineapple. They want a sling box. No, that's not sling box, kids. That's not what it
no,
is.
No, but that commercial's pretty
the
good.
The commercial is pretty good.
The commercial's really
with
good.
With Ron?
Yeah, and his wife, and what's her name?
Yeah.
The actress from Will and Grace was his wife
she's,
on the show.
She's hilarious.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is. So there's that. Is Snacks in the car yet?
He got out.
He's got out of the car?
Surly. Yeah.
Because I want to call him out.
We're having some problems with Snacks today. He's perpetually mad now. And now he's mad about something again.
Well,
he's
I want to piss
about,
him off even more.
I've got some audio of him getting mad. He was screaming, I hate Clemson! I hate them! He was, I mean, Clemson was making him, was ruining his whole life last
night. See, I wanted to ruin his life some more today. I wanted to tell him how Clemson beat Alabama's ass, okay? That's what I wanted to do. How about our Rockets last night? Does this
possible?
Mean anything?
So they beat Denver down, the number one seed now. The Rockets beat Denver down. They went into Golden State and beat them in the last second because
of James
Harden.
Are they really the number one seed?
Well, I mean, they are right now. They've been hanging on. James Harden yesterday, 32-14. He had his 6 turnovers. But, you know, yesterday was kind of a volume shooting night for James. But they got off to a quick lead. And really, this is really about, you know, if you look at James's last, last 13, 150-point game, 6 40-point games and 6 30-point games. He hasn't scored under 30 now for 13 consecutive games.
Right. Now, he had volume shots against Portland. It didn't play well. He had 18 shots last night and scored 32 points. He was a plus 23 on the floor. That's a much more efficient game. 6 for 15 from 3.
Well, P.J. Tucker was the big story yesterday, just bombing away from 3. And we talked about and Gerald
7 of 11.
And Red Hot Gerald.
And Gerald, 6 for 10.
So
you're going to take 47% from 3.
But that's how you win is you got to have James play like an MVP and then have at least 1.5 guys step
up. And Capella puts in another 31.
Yeah, and Capella has been playing great. You know, Capella got off to a little bit of a slow start. Right now, do you realize that Capella's almost averaging 18 points a game, John?
Yeah.
Clint Capella is more than earning his money right now. Clint Capella is getting close to all-star level. He's at 17.6.
Is he an all-star this year?
He's almost at 18 and 13. A double-double, and it's an impactful double-double because he's really been he's been the second best player to James during this run that James has had. Clint Capella's right there with him. Look at Clint Capella. Here's just the last 5. 31, 13, 29, 19. Rebounds, 9, 21, 21, 13. He's still doing his job as a rim protector, not as many this year. But Clint Capella is doing a great job of playing exactly the role that they need him to play, which is board grabber, which is going to be garbage man around the basket for when people try to close out James early. He's just going to catch and dunk. And all you need is one guy to step up and shoot threes in any given game, and you can win. If you have two, you're 100% going to win. If you have two guys step up and shoot threes like Crazy Gerald and PJ did, it's lights out. How far are we away from Chris
Paul? Is Capella an all-star this year?
I got to look at the rest of it. It's going to be a little tough because there's some talented bigs in the West, but I definitely think he has a chance of being named.
I do too.
I mean, he won't get voted, but he definitely has a chance of getting named.
You know, James might have to get named. You know, Derrick Rose is leading after the first ballots.
That's so stupid.
Derrick Rose and Steph Curry are your all-star guards. Did you see did you see Derrick's act last night?
What did Derrick do?
Well,
last
apparently
night?
People thought because Tom Thibodeau was fired that Derrick Rose
kill yourself.
Yeah, he told everybody to go kill themselves. He said, if you think that I'm going to fall off or something, go kill yourself. He had to apologize for that. I don't think you should tell people to kill yourself, right? I don't know. It doesn't bother me, but
Derrick Rose forgot he's not a young person. That's a young person thing. Kill yourself. When someone says something to you ridiculous on Twitter, you clap back, well, kill yourself. You forgot he's famous and 30-some years old.
Yeah.
Actually, he's only 30.
He don't eat M&Ms anymore.
Skittles, wasn't it?
Oh, it was Skittles. Yeah,
yeah, he forgot. Sure. What you read on Twitter, Derrick Rose, you cannot say that stuff because you're really a public figure who's 30 years old.
Right. If you're 30,
I feel like that's a young man's clapback. Kill yourself.
Yeah.
You can get away with it. If you're one of those mumble rappers.
Uh-huh.
Lance knows who I'm talking about.
I hate mumble rappers. But they do, yeah. But they're the ones who will say
or
that.
Or a college kid.
D. Rose.
He's having a great year.
He's having a good year.
Yeah, but he ain't James Harden.
I'm not saying he's James
Harden.
Not even
20 points.
But he's come.
But it's a nice little story.
He's a bench player, right? He didn't start there.
Yeah.
He's going to win. If he keeps this up, he's going to win Sixth Man of the Year.
He's a bench player who's ahead of James Harden in voting.
Well, people like a okay. Well, one guy is liked, I guess. The other guy, not so much.
Yeah. There's some of that there. Is James playing his best year?
You know why Derrick Rose is liked is because he's been hurt. Why is Derrick Rose likable?
He's a comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he's a comeback. Great. Because he was hurt. Everybody likes Derrick Rose.
Well, Derrick was a really super explosive player. It was Derrick Rose was what Steve Francis was supposed to be. He was the manifestation. That was an MVP. And then, you know,
but
of course
I don't understand this whole thing. They like him. What has Derrick Rose ever done to make people like him?
Well, it just played well.
He played
well.
People
that's
like
right.
And James.
And then he was hurt. And, you know, yeah. he took a step and he broke a knee. And then he took
people
another step and he broke his other knee.
The comeback story. And he doesn't have any stink on him. He might, but I don't. Don't like, if we're basing this off of him versus James, we know
James
people,
is much more
people
likable.
Don't like James Harden as a basketball player.
What? Okay, yeah. So, you know, at basketballreference.com, they, one of my favorite thing is they list your nicknames, all your known nicknames at basketballreference.com under the player. And here, I'm going to see. So, Derrick Rose's are Windy City Assassin, D. Rose, and Pooh. I know he's Pooh. What are James Harden's? There's two.
Big booty lover.
Oh, that's unofficial.
It's not.
Actually, that's official. But it's not listed. The beard. Right?
Yeah, obviously.
And El Chapo. Did you know that? Anyone ever heard that?
No idea.
No.
El Chapo is his nickname. How about PJ Tucker? What do you think? I don't know. I'm literally just pulling these up right now. Under basketball reference, and I don't even know where they get them from. But what
Tuck.
Do you I bet that's not a bad.
PJ?
Oh, no. PJ stands for, that's his nickname, PJ. You know what it stands for?
Mm.
Pops Jr.
Mm.
There's no, does Clint Capella have any? The giraffe? Let's see. What would Clint Capella's nickname be? Swiss Bank. Have y'all heard any of these?
No. Why would I know?
No.
I didn't know that.
No.
What about Chris Paul?
Nut CP3. Checker. Nut checker?
Nut check? You think nut check? Cup
Does that
check?
Make the list?
Let me see if cup check's in there. By the way, James made somebody fall down again yesterday.
Yeah, he
did. Kind of. And then he busted a three in the guy's face again.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, CP3, and the point god. I didn't know the point guard was a nickname.
That. I didn't know that either.
I had heard the CP3 one. I've
yeah,
heard that before.
We've heard that. I heard that before. So, 747. I got it handed to me yesterday a little bit at Prime.
Did you?
Yeah. I took one on the chin yesterday. But that's fine. You know what? You got good days, you got bad days. Yeah. You got good days, you got bad days.
Yep.
I was Alabama yesterday at Prime.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I was Alabama yesterday in real life. With Alabama.
You took Alabama.
Yeah. At Prime, the thing with Prime Social is that Prime gives you opportunities every day. But you know the great thing is? Another national championship game is going today for you.
So, a couple of things. January 25th, we're going to be there. And that's their one-year anniversary.
Are we finally back?
We're back there.
We're before then.
We're back there the 11th. We're there this
Friday.
This Friday. And 2 weeks. So January 25th is their anniversary.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have a big day. They're going to have all kinds of events. They're going to have you want to be there on January 25th.
So I'm coming back from Senior Bowl on Thursday, so that's perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
I'll be there ready on
and
Friday.
And then February 9th, they got a free roll, $20,000 guaranteed. You play from now, the people who play the most from now until February 9th, the top 80 are all in this $20,000 guaranteed free roll.
Wow, that's a great opportunity. All you got to do is go play. Go play cash games. Go play cash games. If you're going to play poker anyway, go play where you can get a free roll where $20,000 is guaranteed in the
It was Monday yesterday. There were 12 tables going. I mean, this is because there's just a lot of poker rooms. There's a poker rooms all over the place.
Yeah,
you might
it.
Find one game
it's
or two
to decline,
games.
Though, because people, just like we thought, are funneling to the best spot.
The best spot.
You want the best place. You want the best food. You want the valet parking, the drinks, the management, and the place is nice. You feel nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. You will always find a game. You will always find a game there. You know, you can go to other places and they've got one table or no table.
That's
trying
the worst
to get
feeling.
That's the worst. This place always has a game going. Yeah. So if you're looking for the best place, 7801 Westheimer, right there at Voss, just the first light west of Voss on Westheimer, prime social. Get there. Come on, let's play.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number. If you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN, you must have some thoughts on what went on last night. You're more than welcome to come in and share those with us here on the show. I have one thing that is bothering me a little bit. Did you see the protester?
I saw on Twitter there was this woman being carried off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it was about, though.
Did it happen before the game? Was the game interrupted?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember the game being interrupted.
No.
But, okay, so look, I got a picture of her. She's a big girl, and she is, she's holding
a
giant.
Why is that necessary?
I don't know. She's holding a giant hashtag right to rescue, and then it's a picture of a chicken. Apparently, at Levi's Stadium, they sell Perdue. It's Perdue chicken. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like that. She doesn't like that they're selling Perdue chicken.
Are those chickens not taken care of before they're killed?
Well, they're probably like all chickens. Like Tyson has, where they put them in a little chicken factory. They jam all of them up. That's probably what her deal is.
I don't know. I think she should eat more chicken. That's all I'm saying. Grilled.
No skin,
really
no butter.
It's really unnecessary.
No, I'm just
you're
saying.
Missing the point of her protest.
No, I don't understand the point of her.
You don't
right
get the hashtag
to rescue
now.
The
now
chickens.
The hashtag,
maybe she feels. Maybe she's a vegan, or maybe she feels those chickens are kept in non-sanitary. I won't say humane because they're chickens, but a bad place. I guess she thinks they're kept in a bad place before they're killed.
Well, maybe, or maybe
I don't know.
Shouldn't because I know more vegans now than I've ever known in my life.
How's that possible?
Because I know, well, first, one of my nieces is a vegan, but Steve and Brent are both vegans over at Prime.
Both?
They're both
How'd
vegans.
That happen?
Yeah.
I knew Steve was.
Yeah, Brent looks more like a vegan.
What do vegans look like, John? Not like the girl who ran on the field?
Well, apparently not say? Like Steve, because...
Steve will tell you. That's Steve's lead. Whenever he tells people he's vegan... I know I don't look like it, but I'm a vegan. That's just like
apparently
he leads with it.
The Right to Rescue Act allows Californians and some other states to break into hot cars to rescue animals without facing legal ramifications. So if you see an animal in a hot car, you're allowed to crack open a window and save them.
Who's keeping chickens in hot cars?
I don't know.
No one is.
Maybe Perdue.
There's a chicken on her sign.
Why did she put a chicken on
her
sign?
Maybe Perdue Chicken is keeping their chickens in hot boxes.
Yeah, but that's not a hot car in the parking lot of a Target.
Are you sure this is the same Right to Rescue?
She said Right to Rescue. The only thing I could find, and it is in California where the protest took place, it's so-called Right to Rescue. You're allowed to break into cars.
And this is why they say raise awareness, because here we are discussing this on a sports talk show in Houston. She wins.
Not really.
The big girl beat you, John.
She got carried off the field.
Hey. She's just a woman.
She just got carried off the field.
I mean, activist won.
No, not really.
Well,
not
you
really.
Are discussing. You are discussing her cause. So she kind of won.
I will fight for the right to rescue babies collapsed on the floor of factory farms.
What?
Right to rescue
what
every
babies
animal
are on factory farms.
And until
like baby
all chickens. Hell holes are empty, go vegan and help animals. The girl who ran on the field during NCAA championship game to protest selling a Purdue chicken was our teen activist and sanctuary operator, Zoe Rooster.
So she's a teen?
Her name is Zoe Rooster?
Well,
and she's trying to save chickens?
So
there
she is.
You know what she's going to do to them chickens, don't you?
Her name is Zoe Rosenberg. 16-year-old animal liberty.
Do you feel bad now,
she's
John?
She's a 16-year-old.
What's the matter with you?
She's a what?
16-year-old.
Here she is.
Oh, you can't tell me that's a 16-year-old.
Yeah,
that's
100%
her.
She's 16?
Body shaming a 16-year-old
animal.
60?
16.
She's not 16.
That's what he said, 16.
Liberationist.
No, she's 60.
16-year-old animal liberationist, founder of Happy Hen Animal Sanctuary, organizer with Direct Action Everywhere. I will fight for the right to rescue babies collapsed on the floors of factory farms.
For years and years.
Right to rescue animals confined in factory farms, slaughterhouses.
Oh, God.
Ought to be ashamed.
PETA.
She even has a Wikipedia page.
She's worse than PETA.
She does now.
She's the founder of Happy Hen Animal Society.
Wow, look at her making things. She's doing things, John.
She did.
16 years old.
She did
she's
a
doing
TED
things.
Talk as well.
No,
yeah,
she
she's doing.
Yes, she did.
She's
TED
embarrassing
talk.
Herself and getting carried off the
she's
field.
She's done a lot more than
get
you,
off
John.
The field
she's
and done, watch
let
the
me
game.
Read some more stuff about her. Protester dragged off field at national championship protest game.
Mm.
She was arrested at age 15 for chaining herself to a gate at a slaughterhouse, bringing awareness.
Did you
to her
do that when you were 15? You probably worked at a slaughterhouse in Chicago at 15.
I was choking down heaters. Okay.
Let's run a concurrent timeline between this girl's life and John's life from age like 13 up.
Yeah.
Well, it would be only 3 years. At 16, you were running cons on the neighborhood old women called Odd Jobs Incorporated.
I was drinking beer in the back of my dad's store.
Had you had your hand on a firearm by age 16?
No,
yes or no?
I'm not a firearm guy.
She
never
was,
have been.
But did anyone in your gang have one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At 14.
Do you think anyone at Right to Rescue or whatever her animal place has a firearm?
Happy
yes or no?
Hen Animal Sanctuary.
Yeah.
At 15, she was honored as Youth Activist of the Year at the Animal Rights National Conference.
Holy crap. What'd you do at 15? What were you honored for 15? Did you get a fresh one when you were 15?
Multiple fresh ones.
I got a few multiple fresh ones.
Did you have any scares? Like, oh, I just got a big scare, but everything turned out okay. Did you ever say I had a scare when you were 15?
Did you have to?
I did have multiple fresh
at
ones.
At 15,
hey,
John,
shut up, you.
At 15 or 16, did at any point you have to scrounge up money from your friends because I got to drive to the doctor? Did that happen at any point?
No. Did you ever have anyone mount you? Do you think she ever had a senior mount her and try to punch her in the face multiple times in high school because of anything that she did?
Mm.
What senior mounted you?
What?
Remember the guy who jumped on you was punching you because...
Oh, yeah. I
think it was a senior, right? It was somebody older.
No. We were the same age. He just beat the snot out of me.
what did you do?
He didn't exactly mount me.
What did you do?
Yeah, that sounded...
We were just fighting over a girl. That's all.
Do you think she's ever had a fist fight over a chicken or anything like that? Man. No.
A chicken.
She ain't fighting over anybody. Okay? Nobody's fighting over her.
Said a chicken. Are you continuing to shame a 16-year-old girl?
I'm not shaming anybody.
Do you think at any point in her life, she looked in the background of work that she had done and said, get the check, lefty. Let's get out of here quick before she notices the tile sliding off the shower.
No.
Do you think that ever happened with her?
No. I'm pretty sure none of that happened.
So she's never gotten a fresh one either.
Listen, let's not glorify her, okay? She got carried off of a field. She first of all, she should have been arrested, okay? Was I arrested at 15? Yeah. So we've both been arrested, okay?
That's where it converges.
That's right.
There's the convergence of the timelines.
What did you get arrested for?
I got arrested.
Criminal mischief?
It's a couple of times, but that's nothing to brag about.
Can we have a game where we try to guess why you got arrested?
No, let's guess how we're going to save money right now.
Well, I mean, not get arrested is my number one thing.
Right.
No bail money. Or if you do need bail money, one of the ways you can save money is TGS Insurance. The good people who brought you Bill Advisor now bring you TGS Insurance. What can TGS Insurance You know, what can they do for your pocketbook? I'll tell you exactly what they, and why am I saying pocketbook? Does anyone actually have a pocketbook anymore? I don't even know what that is.
Your Aunt Phyllis.
Yeah, she writes checks at the grocery store. Well, you don't have to do that with TGS. They make it way easier. In fact, let me give you an example. They have it locked down to a process to get you quick homeowners insurance quotes, and you will find out whether or not they can save you money on your homeowners insurance. Now, your homeowners insurance, I made the switch over to TGS, and I think we're going to have to make a claim on something going on underneath our home. And I already did my research on them before I made the switch over, because homeowners insurance, that's a big deal. And you want to make sure that you're getting a company that is going to take care of you. We upped our insurance by $100,000 on our home, and I still saved $700 for the year. I still save $700 for the year. Find out if you can save that money or more. Many people are saving more when they go with TGS Insurance. Simply text 232323 and text them money. Send money to 232323. An automated system will text you back. It will get your phone, it will get your address from you, and then they'll tell you what they can do for your homeowner's insurance with an immediate quote that gets text back from you. No strings are attached. It's just a chance for you to potentially save a lot of money on not only home, but also car as well. TGS Insurance, make sure that you text 232323. Text them the word money.
ESPN 97.5.